Hi everyone, and welcome to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermay, and in today's episode, we'll be talking with John Phillips about organising skyrunning events. John has been hiking or running in the Wungong Gorge since the 1980s. Since 2005, John has completed 20-plus trail ultras, and in 2018 completed the Ultra Trail Australia, that's UTA, 100 kilometre, with over 4,000 metres of elevation gain in the Blue Mountains near Sydney, New South Wales. John then helped lead groups of Ultra Trail Australia and Bloated Goat Race aspirants in Wungong Gorge on numerous occasions. He soon expanded to guided trail running in the Mundaring area. Later, adventure trail-based personal training clients hiked the trails of Kalamunda, Serpentine, Jarradale and Wungong with John. John says he was blessed to compete in many Perth Trail Series races in Wungong since about 2014. In early 2022, John saw the need for a high vertical gain race to assist with training for UTA, Transcend and Waterous Trail on Foot Ultras. This became the Wild Gorge Skyrunning Series covering five events in the Wungong Gorge area south of Perth. Welcome to Forest.chat, John.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very happy to be on Forest Chat. I'm looking forward to sharing how I organise skyrunning events.
It's great to have you here, John. What is skyrunning?
Okay, so skyrunning. It began with an Italian mountaineer by the name of Marino Giacometti, who is the current president of the International Skyrunning Federation, with races on Mont Blanc, where the UTMB is now, and Monte Rosa in Italy in the early 1990s. In 1993, it expanded. They had new races in the Himalayas near Mount Everest and Mount Kenya, and also some Mexican volcano areas. And that continues to this day. In the early days of development of skyrunning by Marino Giacometti, he employed a ski guide by the name of Laurie Van Houten, and he was directing, I think, one of the first skyrunning races. And someone asked him, what's the difference between trail running and skyrunning? I think it's on July 4th, 1993, when he was directing a race, and he made it clear that, the quote from Laurie Van Houten is, trail running goes around the mountain, skyrunning goes up and down the mountain. Steep descents and ascents are a must. So that's really the main difference between skyrunning and trail running. They both do quite a lot of ascending and descending, but skyrunning really, really focuses on it. And so you're looking at the steepest possible ascent you can get, the steepest possible descents you can get, particularly the ascent. It's mostly about the ascent. So skyrunning wants to take the steepest route to the top, whereas trail running tends to go around and around a bit to get there. Currently, there is 202 skyrunning races in 18 countries with 50,000 participants each year, and that's the official ones that are recognised by the International Skyrunning Federation based in Zermatt, Switzerland, led by Marino Giacometti, and that's more of a European and USA sort of thing, and it's not really, there's probably similar races in Australia which are not recognised by that. Obviously the Wild Gorge is looking to feed into that direction, but we wouldn't fit their definition of 2,000 metres above sea level, because all the 2,000 metre height mountains within the country of Australia are in New South Wales, in the Snowy Mountains mostly, like Mount Kosciuszko, the highest one, which is 2,228 metres above sea level.
It's quite something to organise skyrunning events. What does it take to do that?
To organise a skyrunning type event, you need to have the right location to start with. So you need somewhere which has at least, I would say, 150 metre climbs, at least 100 metres of ascent in climb. You need lots of those. So unless you're going to go up and down the same hill the whole time, then you need a valley. You need lots of different climbs where you can get that ascent count without going the same place every time. So you want to be able to go up, go down, and then find another one. So the sort of places that you get close to Perth for that sort of thing, some of the best areas are on the Darling Scarp, on the Darling Range. So that would include places like Kalamunda, Bells Rapids, Brigadoon, Wailunga, which is where the Transcend race is. Les Mertes, not too bad. and anywhere along that scarp. Some of the best locations, I think, are probably near Serpentine Falls in near Jarrodale, and also my favourite one is the Wongong Gorge near Armidale and Byford, where the Wild Gorge races are held. And the reason I like that one so much is because there's a lot of steep cliff type options there, and it's also a very long valley that's more than 5 kilometres in horizontal distance between South West Highway and the Wongong Dam, or vice versa. And along that valley, there's a lot of 100 to 200 metre climbs. And one of my favourite ones is Heaven's Gate, which is over, it works out at about 230 metres of vertical distance. To organise the event, you need to find that location, like the Darling Scarp, whatever it's the steepest and the most options of ascending.
In addition to the elevation, what else do you want to include?
Preferably something that's really interesting and gives you lots of views to the valley below, or the plains below, or the dam, or the ocean if you've got it nearby. That's what you want with skyrunning. You want lots of really good views where you feel like you're on the top of the ridge, on the top of the mountain, and you can see everything down below. That's skyrunning for me. And that's what I look for around the Wongong Gorge area. And I've also done it a little bit in Kalamunda. And I could try and do it in Jarrodale or Rigadoon, Wylonga as well. Those areas have got that kind of view down below where you feel like you're on top of the world, and it's just everything's below you. It's like you're in an aircraft and you can see down everything below. At night, you can see all the lights from the towns below. So with the Wild Gorge Sky Running Race, and I'm looking to get as many of those opportunities as possible in the race where you can see the big vista, the big view down below, and you really enjoy that view, and you can see the trees down below, and you can see the valley, you can see maybe the ocean or the dam or the town below. It's just that feeling of majestic views from the top. That's what I'm looking for. And in all the Wild Gorge races, you'll see quite a lot of that. You'll see lots of opportunities of seeing those sorts of things. And at the same time, getting that vertical distance done during the race. You want that VK, that vertical kilometre, or that vertical 2 kilometre, or vertical mile, the 1600 metres of vertical distance. That's what you're looking for.
The views can be very inspirational, I'm sure. The elevation suggests it will take a lot of work on the legs to go the distance.
That's what the sort of work that you need to do on your calf muscles and the muscles near the hip, so that you can build that strength. And that strength takes work. You've got to build that over many weeks if you want to be able to race sky running type races, or even just ultra trail Mont Blanc type races, so like Ultra Trail Australia or Mount Fuji in Japan or somewhere like that. Yeah, you've got to get that work done on the legs if you want to be able to succeed in these sort of mountain races.
Our hills around Perth are quite small compared to Europe and other places. And the definition of skyrunning suggests there are criteria for the events to meet. Can your events meet the skyrunning criteria?
To organising a skyrunning type event, can't really organise a strictly skyrunning event in Perth Hills because we don't have anything over 2,000 metres, and it's very difficult to average 30% of steepness over 5% of the course even. Certainly get that steepness, but not for getting it to 5% of the course. I think that'd be very difficult. So that's why a skyrunning event in Perth is never going to be quite the same as one in Europe or something like that, but we can get as close as possible to that. And we can get the 6% average for the entire course if we work hard enough on it. I wasn't actually looking for that 6% average when I designed the courses. I was just looking for maximum steepness, lots of views of the vistas below. That was the sort of thing I'm looking for. Quite a bit of single track where I could get it, and challenging trails, interesting trails that you'll never forget, so that you have a real experience out there.
Did you personally have specific challenges with the courses?
One of the challenges I found in organizing this sort of event is that I've been navigating for many years by landmarks, so I always work on the basis of what landmark I can see. At night, that's not very good because then you're relying on the map in your head at night time. So the nocturnal navigation is very difficult compared to diurnal navigation during the day. You can try and navigate with GPS files on the watch. Quite a lot of people do that nowadays. Not so many when I first started running trails. In fact, I don't think it really existed then much at all. But nowadays, a lot of people use GPS files on their watch. I don't really have a good knowledge of that sort of thing, but I've never navigated using GPS on a watch ever myself. I've followed others who are doing it, but not myself.
How do you let the runners know which way to go?
When I'm designing these courses, I have to think about how I'm going to communicate to the runners which way to go. And there's a lot of little small intricate turns, and I have to get them going exactly the right way. When they're following a one sort of trail, it's not too bad, because as long as they stay on that trail, they'll be on track. But once there's a turn, that's where it gets tricky to try and make sure the runners go the right way. Because if they go the wrong way, they can end up miles off in the bush, completely lost, well away from where they should be. And that did actually happen quite a bit in the first few races. Especially the first one. And I really wasn't too happy about that. I didn't really anticipate how difficult they would find it to follow the course. And I've also noticed that using the GPS doesn't really... It's helpful, but it's not enough on its own, in my opinion, to follow the course correctly.
What do you think is needed to keep the runners on course?
I think markers are needed, or a recon of the course in advance. One of those two in order, or following someone who's done it before. So I've endeavoured to try and put markers. I've tried to mark the course so that the runners will stay on track. So they'll follow the course that I've designed. And if they need to do that in order to get the vertical distance and in order to find their way out of the valley and get back to the town where things start and finish, which is Byford. And I tried to mark all the significant turns, and I found that they needed to be fairly high up for them to see that. I also tried to use pegs to peg my markers into the trees, and that way the idea was that I could come back and remove those markers from the trees using the pegs to unclip them from there. Unfortunately, what I found was that the pegs would disappear. I think maybe the pegs were picked up by other runners or riders, or don't really know, maybe even animals, but the pegs disappeared. So because they disappeared, I couldn't afford to keep spending money on pegs that weren't going to stay there.
Do you need many markers?
So I found that I needed so many markers, a lot more than I thought, to cover these intricate little turns on the different single tracks and to make sure that people kept going the right way. And I discovered I needed a lot more markers than what I thought I would need. And this is very time intensive when there's only one person, which is me, doing it.
How long does it take to mark the course?
I found that to mark the entire course, it was going to be around about, I estimate, well over 10 hours of marking, because it's difficult terrain and you can't go fast and it's steep. And I mean, if you're in very good condition, you could probably do it a lot quicker, but I'm not. And the time that it takes to mark these courses is significant. It really is very significant. And so that's been a real challenge, a real barrier for me. And I would like to have some assistance on that.
What sort of people do you need to help you?
It needs to be people that know the course, and it needs to be people who are willing to come and put that time and spend a few hours helping me mark the course or taking the markers down, if that's what we're going to do. I've had a few people say they would like to help, but none of them carried through on it, or none of them followed through on that intention. And so, as usual, I'm the only one who's going to make it happen so far, from what I can see. I'm definitely open to assistance from others.
Are there other groups that could help you run the Wild Gorge events?
And I'm also open to collaborations with other race directors, other organisations. It doesn't have to be all me. I'm quite happy to work with other people on this one, but I'd like to ensure the integrity, the aims of these events remains intact, which is maximum steepness, a steepness of around, hopefully around 6% steepness, or at least well over 5%. In the VK, it's only 4%, but that's because there's too much flatness in it in terms of making it a reasonable entry-level type course.
We've talked about what it takes to organise skyrunning events, and now it will be good to look at the difference organising skyrunning events makes. We've heard what it takes to organise skyrunning events. Now it's time to explore what organising skyrunning events means. Now that you've organised over 10 events, John, how has organising skyrunning events changed you, your family, or the community?
I think that skyrunning events mean a lot to the people running them. It's they're looking for the excitement, the thrill of the views, the amazing sights they see, the feeling of running at speed on single track in and out different ways and down a steep incline or up a power hiking or working hard on the running to get up a real steep ascent. There's a real sense of achievement and satisfaction from that sort of experience, from that endeavor. And they're looking to become a better runner, a stronger runner. And they're looking to target certain events, so things like Ultra Trail Australia, like the Transcend Ultra, or maybe even UTMB. And we've had a few people in my races who are doing races in Italy or somewhere near there, and definitely some UTA and Transcend people.
Do you have any examples of people that have benefited from doing Wild Gorge sky running events?
Michael Hooker ended up breaking the record at Waterous Trail on foot, WTF Ultra. 100 miler. He did that soon after running the vertical mile at Wild Gorge. I'm not sure whether that had a lot of help towards his performance. I'm sure it was more to do with his actual training, but it probably didn't hurt and definitely made him a better runner potentially, I would think. Maybe. It's hard to tell on that one. So that's what the people are looking for when they come to Wild Gorge, I would think. That's what I'm organising it for. And I'm helping them to get to higher events to take on the challenge of mountain races. And they'll be able to do that more easily if they've done a race like Wild Gorge first.
Are there other races people can do as well?
Perth Trail Series races are great for that sort of thing. I'm sure there may be other races in Western Australia that are good for that. But on Wild Gorge, to my knowledge, is the best race in Western Australia right now for getting the steepest ascents throughout the course on average. It has the best steepness average for the course, quite significantly higher than any other race in Australia, in Western Australia, I believe, that I know of, other than maybe the Bluff Knoll races that happened many years ago.
There looks to be a lot of physical and mental health benefits to organising skyrunning events. Next, let's look at the steps you took to organise skyrunning events. Doing things can be daunting, and we now know you have the resolve and dedication. What are the key steps you took to organise skyrunning events?
To make these events happen, there's a lot of things that need to happen. So, firstly, you need the course marked. That's the number one thing. You've got to have it marked well. If you don't have it marked well, then the runners go off course and they get lost and they feel unmotivated and they want to quit and go back and they don't come back after that. And that's a real problem, because it is quite a challenge to get it marked well enough and to find the time to do it beforehand, because I'm juggling it with my own full-time work, which I don't have a lot of time for this.
Is this something you're doing professionally?
It's not a professional thing for me. I never really intended it to be a professional thing for me. It's more of a passion project, more of a hobby type thing. I mean, I would love to do it professionally, but I don't really have that option at the moment.
What else do you need to do?
So, other than marking, there is things like got to have some medals, something for people to get when they finish. There's things like timing, how are you going to organise the timing? That's a real challenge for me. I also ordered some race numbers off Amazon for people to wear when they're racing, but we really need enough runners for that. You probably, if there's enough people doing it, then you need someone to record the times and the positions of people, so you can build up a list of how everyone went, the results, if you like.
How do you work on building your presence with runners?
Another thing that is worth thinking about with organising an event like this is having a dedicated website for the race, and that requires some costs. I've had a few pages running. I've got something on Strava.com. I've got something on Facebook. I've got something on Instagram. I've got a few things happening online to sort of build the presence and to share the information that people need to know about, to sort of encourage the interest in it and get people to enter. And that's the biggest challenge, is getting people to enter. So I've been using the Eventbrite program for people to enter. There is other ones out there. There's Race Roster. There's a few other ones out there. I saw a new one recently. So those are the things you have to think about. You've got to think about marking. You've got to think about medals. You've got to think about online presence. You've got to think about advertising the races. And that's not just online.
Have you been working offline to attract runners?
I've been around to groups like the Manning Park Trail Runners. I've done a bit of an advertisement for the race there at the end of their run. I've done a bit of a word of mouth thing, so it's been spread through other groups. But it's a building thing, and it takes time. It takes months. If you even if you put all your time and money and effort into it, and you boost all your online advertisements so that lots of people see them, then and spend quite a bit of money on that, then it's going to take several months to get the interest that you need to get people entering, maybe even years.
What is the biggest challenge for you in delivering Wild Gorge skyrunning events?
And I'm not putting enough time and money into it to really develop it well yet, and so that's been a big challenge. I'm not getting enough entries. I can't get. I haven't been able to work out how to fix that.
Are there other challenges you have?
You've got to carry the gear around. I just use the Coles bags to carry my gear in it. So that means the gear that I need to store is in those Coles, those cooler bags. Things like the medals, the marking tape, which I get from Bunnings, any other things that you might need.
Do you have a pre-run briefing?
So at the start of the race, I always try to get the people who are running it together and discuss with them the weather, what's the weather like today, how that's affecting the course, what colour markers they should be following depending on which race they've chosen, anything else that might seem relevant, any questions they might have, basically just giving them a rough overview of what's ahead in the race. So yeah, I sort of just get people together and talk to them and explain those things. I don't have a problem speaking to people. I have experience with teaching, primary teaching and coaching, and I'm quite confident and running university assignments and so on. I'm really confident in talking to people in a public setting. There's no problem with that for me.
There are some physical risks for the runners. How do you address them?
So you need people to be able to get out. You need to think about how you get someone out of there if they got injured or something went wrong. You need to think about what's the best way for people to escape back to the finish line. So you need to think about the safety aspects of it and things like making sure they've got your phone number, being aware of the fact that a lot of the low end of the valley probably won't have much phone signal. Those are the things you need to be aware of. Making sure if it's hot, then there's issues of drinks and staying hydrated and avoiding heat stress injury, heat exhaustion, heat stress. So there's a lot of things you've got to think about because basically you're responsible for those runners and you've got to be there on time. At the end of the day, they're responsible for their own safety, but as a race director, you feel a sense of wanting to look after them.
What have you done that is expected by runners, but you have done in a different way?
Another thing I've done is drink stations. I've carried out drinks out onto the course, and I've been a bit of a mobile drink station, so I've tried to meet the runners on the course and give them drinks and food and lollies and things so that they can keep going, because it's a lot of long way to carry all that stuff. So it'd be good to have some dedicated aid stations out there, but I need people to help with that. I need people who can look after those aid stations, or who can look after the finish line, or who can help with the marking.
John, you've mentioned costs a few times. Can you give us an overview of where the money is used?
Buying a significant amount of medals, say 5 or 10 medals even, is you're looking at hundreds of dollars to get good ones. So for me, the costs have been mostly buying the marking tape. And people keep stealing it, so I have to keep buying it again, and I'll have to keep remarking again, and that takes a lot of time, and it's a waste of money. So I've spent hundreds of dollars on marking, I've spent hundreds of dollars on medals, and obviously a lot of petrol driving there because it's not that close to everywhere else.
Can you expand on how much time is involved, and where is your time spent?
A lot of time trying to market and trying to advertise it online or wherever else, trying to get the online things working well and trying to keep getting that information out there so that people are aware of the race, so there's a big awareness of it. Takes a lot of time and effort, and you need to persist with it, and you've got to manage the web pages as well. You've got to manage the people that are on there and try and get their interest and get the right information to them about the races, and think of new ways to make the Sky Running series, the Wild Gorge Sky Running series, more interesting, or add a different race to it, or improve it, or maybe try and look at merchandise, things like hats or shirts.
Thinking about the future of the series, what directions come to mind?
I've also thought about trying to get it recognised by the UTMB, so that we can get running stones on the race, so that if people complete the race, they get a running stone, which then gives them a pathway to enter UTMB through the Wild Gorge race. That's something I'd like to do. I'm not sure what the costs are and the logistics yet. I'd like to try and explore that. It's not really worth doing it, these sorts of things like merchandise and that, unless you've got enough people entering, because you need the revenue from the entering to fund the merchandise or merchandise costs or the whatever costs you might have to get the race recognised by UTMB. Those things cost significant amounts of money. So things like getting the race incorporated, covering your insurance and liability, and it's a fairly dangerous race. I mean, there's a lot of potential things that could go wrong. So people could fall, they could get bitten by a snake, they could collect a lot of kangaroo ticks, they could have a medical episode, they could injure their leg or have a heart attack or all sorts of things like that. I had one person who wanted to do one of my races, and I in the end basically advised them that it's probably not a good idea for them to do it because they had too many medical issues. I didn't like the huge risk that would be involved. Another thing would be weather and things related to that.
What is your aim in organising the Wild Gorge Skyrunning Series?
To help make sure they have a good experience and wanting to try and make sure they have a safe experience so that they'll get back and have a great time in the race and get a medal and really progress as a runner and really enjoy the day. That's what I'm aiming for, to help people do that and give them something that they can really use as a springboard to something better.
Okay, so there you have it. That's the Wild Gorge Skyrunning Series races. It's all about the vertical. It's all about getting up over the mountain on the steepest possible route and with the most magical views, the most amazing views down below. That's what it's about.
Thank you for sharing your experience of organising skyrunning events, John. And from all Forest.chat listeners, we wish you all the best in your future endeavours.
Thank you, Paul. I hope the Forest Chat listeners can benefit from hearing about my experience of directing the Wild Gorge races in the last 3 years. And I'm very keen to hear all the interviews that Forest Chat's got. It's sounding very interesting to me too.
You've been listening to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermeer, and in today's episode, we talked with John Phillips about organising skyrunning events. Remember, there are 4 ways you can get involved with Forest.chat. Share the domain Forest.chat with your friends and family and people you meet. Listen to the published episodes at forest.chat/episodes. Book an interview at forest.chat/interview. Book an advert at forest.chat/advert. I'm looking forward to joining you with our next interview. Until next time, enjoy making it happen.